And we're back for another PARTrain. And it wouldn't be a PARTrain without a Cermak technological issue. So he's not joining us tonight because he had another tech issue. So it's just Strat and I. Strat, how you feeling?
I'm good. I'm wondering if we should start a GoFundMe to get Cerm a new laptop or maybe an iPad or something. I don't know.
I mean, we might want to put that on Twitter. That's a good call. I mean, the guy, you want to talk about tough to watch? I mean, we miss the guy. We really do. But this whole thing, it's tough to watch.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it's actually, there's a lot of parallels with our subject today. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, had a lot of promise early in his career, technologically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of a sudden just can't seem to put the pieces together. You know, later in the career, once he gets a little taste of success, he's struggling and we're not sure why. And that just really dovetails perfectly into what we're talking about today.
That is an unbelievable comparison. Rory McIlroy, spoiler alert, we're talking about Rory today. Rory McIlroy is a 2011 MacBook.
Yeah.
In 2011, yeah, he doesn't even know what a touch bar is. That thing was the thing to have. It was fast. It was powerful.
Everybody
wanted one. And in 2019, you're kind of wondering, like, where did it all go?
You know, you're thinking, is it a virus issue? Like, do I have too many viruses? Did I download too many songs? Too much Nelly, maybe?
Oh.
Who knows?
Yeah, that was good. I mean, we know it wasn't a mosquito bite because he avoided that in the Olympics. So,
thank God.
Yeah, but we should say, I mean, we don't want to make it sound like Rory sucks. Like, obviously, he just won the Players, you know, and he had what, like 6 top tens start the year. So obviously, he's on his way back. But with a guy like Rory, we'll get into this, but it doesn't really matter until he wins that next major. But before we dive in, let's give a quick intro of what we're going to cover today. This is the second edition of what we call our Player Deep Dives, where you know, we want to give you something that you can enjoy from now until 3 months from now if you want to review on the career of Rory McIlroy. So the first one we did was Phil Fig Jam Mickelson. And this one, right off of his big win at the Players, we're going to take you through Rory's career. We're going to do some fun segments and debate. So we're going to start off going through some stats and facts from his career, take you back to his AM career, some things you probably don't know or don't remember. We've prepared 3 fun segments to maybe get those belly laughs going in traffic for you next week. We're going to talk Rory's body. That is...
Oh, have you heard of it?
I mean, we're going to talk about his body at great length. Brandel is interested in it too. We're even going to talk
time.
His morning
it's about
routine.
Time.
Who doesn't love a good routine? You're going to learn from what Rory's morning routine is, his little tip of what he does under pressure to hit a good shot. And then we're even going to go down a rabbit hole of sorts and try and figure out what career would you rather have, Rory McIlroy or Jordan Spieth? Who's going to have a better career at the end of there? At the end of it? Who's more likable? I think we know the answer, but why? Why is one of the guys more likable than others? And, you know, we'll just riff from there. So this is going to be a good one. I say, should we just jump right in?
Yeah.
Okay. You sure there wasn't anything you wanted to say there?
I thought about it, and yeah, let's jump in.
Okay. Why don't we start with the amateur career? Because a lot of times we don't follow along when someone's an amateur, right? They just burst onto the scene. It's kind of interesting to look back and see. So this first note here is actually at age 15, Rory was on Europe's winning 2004 Junior Ryder Cup team. It was held in Ohio. Okay. And he became the youngest ever winner of both the West of Ireland Championships and the Irish Closed Championship. Wow. So he retained that West of Ireland Championship and then followed it up with back-to-back wins at the Irish Closed Championship in 2006. And then even won the European Amateur near Italy with a score of 274. So obviously at age 15, like the guy was firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, he had the stuff.
He did. And then in 2000, when he was 16, just a year later, he played in the 2005 British Masters, made the cut, the European Tour for the first time at 17. He had to go. He had to forego prize money there, obviously, because he was an amateur. And then in the 2007 Open Championship at Carnoustie, he was awarded the silver medal as the leading amateur. So clearly, I think most of us remember this from an early age up to 17. We all expected him to do kind of what he's done so far, but we didn't expect his weight level and that hair. I mean, that was, I don't know if you remember it, but.
The hair was tough, you know, and, you know, we've all seen the infamous Nike commercial where baby Rory is watching Tiger through the years and playing with his dad and using, you know, car lights to light the way as he's, you know, playing ad nauseum in his never ending quest for perfection. And he was kind of a Sergio-esque trage for his early career. Mm. Kind of a Justin Rose trage for his early career. A lot of promise, you know, jumping out of that gate hot and early. And then it gets followed up by some results, you know, different in contrast to Rosie and Serge. The kids started to deliver and deliver in a big way, which is why I think a lot of people are a little sour on Rory, because they know that greatness is there. You know, it's not like we're dealing with someone who doesn't know what the hell they're doing. The guy's been in the big moments. He lives for them. At least right. He used to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is there anything better than having the trage and then performing and getting those results? Because you mentioned a lot of trage early on.
Talking about trage performance?
Yeah, you're talking about that trage performance early on. A lot of trage early on.
Yeah, you're going to want it. And if you've got it, you want to exploit it.
So speaking of the results that you mentioned, do you want to take our loyal listeners through kind of his highlights of his career? I kind of took you through some highlights of his AM career, which actually, it's funny. I'm thinking back to the AM career we highlighted of Phil. It almost makes Phil's amateur career seem even more incredible by comparison. But do you want to take him through his professional highlights real quick?
I'd love to. He is currently one of four players to have 15 PGA Tour wins plus four majors. And do you know who the other three are? Two shouldn't surprise you. One might surprise you. Any ideas?
Huh. Well, Strat, I'm going to go ahead and guess Big Cat Tiger Woods is going to be one of them.
Clearly.
I think who I just mentioned, Fig Jam.
There you go. Any ideas on that third?
I mean, that's tough.
It might surprise you. It might surprise you, but he comes from the Africa of the South.
Oh,
he's the biggie, Ernie fucking Els. Who, by the way, if you have seen him in person, he is a big bastard.
Yeah,
the guy's hands look like a bunch of bananas. You know?
Yeah, I think I got a picture with him back in Tucson back in the day. Probably circa 2006. Big man.
Large man. Anyways, to get back on track. Roars has 13 wins on the European Tour. He's the three-time European Player of the Year, two-time PGA Tour Player of the Year.
Oh.
He's the three-time Race to Dubai Money Leader, which, honestly, that sounds fake and made up, but that's, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of money involved. He's a two-time PGA Tour Money Leader, which, again, impressive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys remember this. A lot of people forget. FedEx Cup champ. Remember that one year when he didn't do anything and then he just decided to win at the end?
Sure do.
We might want to revisit the point weighting structure of the FedEx Cup, but that's another episode.
Mm-hmm.
2011, Roars broke the U.S. Open scoring record at Congressional. Still holds it to this day with a combined score of 268 over 4 days. He's got 156 events on the tour with 73 top 10 finishes. That's another thing.
That's
crazy.
Even though
we talk shit about the guy, he is consistently battling in that top 10. I mean, he's the thing that's been interesting lately, which is kind of sparking some Rory magic, at least in my eye, is he seems to be coming on all day movie day. He's making runs on Saturdays. He's battling. He's almost kind of Tiger-esque. He's battling on Thursday, Friday. He's putting himself in a position to be somewhat competitive, and then he's turning it on Saturdays. But again, shows you how consistent he is. And speaking of Tiger, Rory was Tiger-esque from 2011 to 2014. Four majors, two PGAs, which, all right, fine. Technically, those are two majors. One U.S. Open, impressive. You know that those greens are fast in the U.S. Open? Did you know that? And they grow the rough? Did you know that?
Yeah, there's nowhere for the ball to stick.
And a British Open.
So
yeah, and a British Open. So the guy has the pedigree. He knows what it's like to win, and more importantly, he knows what it's like to win in the big events. I mean, you don't win four majors in 4 years without having a command of your game and a command of what sits between your ears as well.
Couple things I want to comment there. I think you did a great job.
Oh, go ahead.
With that, you really grounded us and gave us the respect and context that is Rory's career. Mm-hmm. So it's a great job. Two, I want to go back to that stat of 156 events played on the PGA Tour, 73 top 10 finishes.
Yeah.
Usually we don't really look at the like ratio of top 10 to events. Usually in the past we've looked at events played and cuts made. Didn't even mean to rhyme there. So that's actually kind of crazy. Question for you. Is Rory McIlroy the ultimate backdoor master? Does Rory like the backdoor top 10 more than anyone? Is he a big backdoor guy?
Is he a backdoor little Joe?
He might be, because we've been in the tech world. I got a caveat. I got no data to support this, but I'm pretty sure my gut tells me that I remember this happening on All Hands and Toes multiple times, where Rory is nowhere to be seen, and suddenly you look on the leaderboard at the end of a major or a big tournament, and he's like, he finished ninth. And it's like, how the hell did he do that?
You know what? You might be right, because I think any time I've noticed Rory, it's exactly in that scenario. It goes a lot like this. I'd be like, all right, what's going on here? I guess it, the fuck? Rory? Where the hell did he come from?
He's the backdoor Rory's, king.
He's playing this weekend? Now he's two back off the lead on a Sunday? His tee time was at 9 a.m. and he's thinking that his 62 on Sunday might hold? That's pretty classic Rory, to be honest.
He is the backdoor king. It's really something to be seen. We might want to unpack that a little bit. The other thing that's crazy is the point about Tiger-like. You know, that's something that's everybody's trying to find the next Tiger. We all know that. But I will say, there's probably been nobody else that has done the clear away domination in majors like Rory has twice. I believe it was obviously Congressional, and then I think it was Valhalla, the PGA, where he won both, I think, by 11, 10 or 11. The only guy I think we've seen win a major by that much was Tiger, obviously, in 97. He's done it multiple times in majors. But maybe that's what started the whole, obviously, the number of majors in the number of years, 4 and 4. But the way he won it is probably what created that conversation the most. Fair?
That's fair. And, you know, you mentioning Rory and Tiger in the same sentence just got my mind thinking. And I'm wondering if Rory's fatal flaw was taking PGA Tour Golf, EA Sports from Tiger and putting his face on the franchise. I mean, is this a Madden curse? Did we just get to the root of what's going on with Rory? The day that he took Tiger Woods Golf from Tiger and it became Rory McIlroy Golf presented by EA Sports. Did things just go south in a hurry?
Wait, let me get this straight. I just want to review. Are you saying that if Rory McIlroy had a baseball card, it would say three things? He's a 2011 MacBook, he's a big backdoor guy, and he's the king of the Madden curse?
I mean, a lot of people are thinking that. A lot of people say that.
That is, I got to say, that take might be the best one I've heard in months. That is, nobody's talking about that, and maybe they should.
Maybe they should be. You might want to throw that one on Twitter. So for the listeners at home, you might see that on the Twitter before you hear it in your earballs. Just be ready for that one, okay? You're going to get a little taste on the tweets, and then you're going to get the full entree in the pod. Let's
continue.
Speaking
of that, we do a bad job plugging. Why don't you go ahead and follow us at the Partrain on Twitter and at the Partrain on Instagram. Great
just
content.
Premium, really top quality content.
Yeah. You know, we're big content guys. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great context. We've got a few more fun facts that I think is really interesting. And then I think we're just going to get into some funny segments here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So first is, This is crazy. At age 15, Rory committed to East Tennessee State.
What?
What? To play, but later decommitted to pursue amateur golf in Europe and then turned professional at age 17.
I'd say
that was
go?
Probably a good call.
Did he go? He's all right, let's do this. I'm excited. Can't wait to see it. Actually, you know what? I'm going to stay in Europe. I'm going to try to become pro. I mean, you've been to East Tennessee?
So I kind of, I'm having our stats guy look this up real quick. East Tennessee State University is where? Let's see. That is in Johnson City, Tennessee. Don't know where that is, but we should just, I just want to paint this picture for a second. Rory McIlroy, fat boy with big curls, walking around East Tennessee State.
Talk about a match made in heaven.
I want to talk about the Sunday bar?
That's big shit right there.
That kid would be like Josh from Heavyweights, just hiding candy bars everywhere.
We got a potential Irish Duff Daddy on our hands if he goes to East Tennessee State.
If he went to East Tennessee State, he might have never created the workout controversy.
Brandel might, Brandel might not be talking about him.
Brandel would never have talked about Rory's body if he went to East Tennessee State. He would definitely be the Irish Duff Daddy. I think that's also accurate.
God, I wish I could have seen Rory as the Irish Duff Daddy. I'd love to see that parallel universe.
Okay. Another fun fact. He shot, now we're going to hear a lot about this come later in the summer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you heard it here first. Mm-hmm. Rory shot a 61 hashtag course record at Royal Portrush when he was 16. Guess what Royal Portrush is this year?
Let me guess. Is it the host of the 2019 Open?
It is. And one thing you need to remember is that's the final major this year.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I mean, you know, the fucking PGA as the final major, that's like an incredible steak dinner at the nicest steakhouse you've ever been. And you're ready for dessert. You've been seeing the cart going around. You watched some fat bastard next to you house perfectly presented hot fudge sundae. You ask the waiter for one of those and he says, I wish I could. We don't have any more. Here's a dinner mint. You know, it's like, it just leaves a shit taste in your mouth.
And not only is it just saying we only have a dinner mint, then it's like Shy Boy ordering another helping of lobster mac.
Macaroni and cheese, okay? Macaroni and cheese. There's no shortening on the lobster mac. He's not lobster mac guy. It's macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese. Sure, with a little lobster put in. Okay.
That's a little inside baseball, but still.
Sure. He was 1 in 3 players in history to be the number one in the world as an amateur and a professional. That's pretty awesome.
Wait, who are the others? Let me guess. Tiger? Big Jam?
I think you're right. No, it's not Fig Jam because Fig Jam was never a number one player in the world. I actually don't know who the other is.
Oh.
You know what? We'll look into that.
We'll throw it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll throw it in the show notes. I say I will, but I probably won't. So you guys can just, you know, check us on Twitter.
Feel free to let us know on the Twitters.
Yeah, let us know. Yeah, tweet us. Let us know.
Ask Jeeves.
Suspense is killing me. I won't be able to edit this until I know. Yeah. Okay. He also has, I never knew this. This is interesting. I feel like we've heard every player and celebrity that has replica holes in their backyard, like Jim Nantz, Mark Wahlberg. We haven't heard about this. He's got a road hole replica bunker in his backyard. How about that?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, weird that's just the bunker. You'd think he'd have a full hole. Anyways.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And then obviously a couple controversies outside of his body. In May 2009, he stirred up the controversy by stating that the Ryder Cup, I believe this was before he played in one. It's the thing, this was his first one. That the Ryder Cup is an exhibition event. And his goals are to win tournaments for himself. Golf's an individual sport. He wasn't real thrilled. He wasn't really into the Ryder Cup yet. But he later admitted in interviews that he didn't get it yet, and that was a mistake. So, you know, the guy's living and learning. And then lastly, he refused to play in the Olympics, just like most of the big guys, because of the mosquitoes and its effect on your ability to have kids. Later in life, he also admitted that he kind of jumped on that bandwagon and did it just because everybody else was using it as an excuse. So clearly, Rory loves jumping on bandwagons.
Yeah. So I did a little digging. And do you want to know the three?
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a great moment for us to just kind of check our personal biases, but,
sure.
One of them is a girl, not a girl, pardon me, a woman, Lydia Ko. Lydia Ko. We didn't even think about the LPGA players, but Lydia Ko is one of them. And the other one, not Tiger, because Tiger, as we remember, was an amateur just for a brief while. Jordan Spieth.
Get the fuck out.
Get that one. Get the fuck out of here.
Wow. You know what? This is a great opportunity for us to remind ourselves that we got to consider the LPGA too.
You know, again, just check your personal biases.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard, but futures, women are future. You know,
your gender is a spectrum as well.
Yeah, true. Okay. Well, I think we've set a lot of context. It was a little bit more than I expected. You guys now fully understand and remember Rory's career. I think we've set it up quite nicely. And now we've got a bit of a break for a few segments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kick this off to you. And I'm going to basically, this is a job for. So I'm going to give you five scenarios. And I'm going to ask you, who's better for the scenario? Buff Rory or Fatboy Rory?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm ready for this. Yep.
I was going to answer, but I feel like this is your wheelhouse. So I'm going to let you take it.
Yeah, this feels great. Okay. I already love this. Yeah.
All right. Number one, a state fair with, this seems like a trick question, a state fair with a, quote, all-you-can-eat wristbands.
Oh. It does seem like a trick question because it seems so straightforward. But it's like one of those things, like if I just answered like four D's on a multiple choice test in a row, even though I know they're the right answers, am I going to make that fifth one an A? I don't think I am. Obviously, this is a job for Fat Rory.
Wow. So you're going to go against your gut.
I'm going to go against my gut. I'm going to ignore the aesthetics of it. And I'm just going to go with my gut and know that Fat Rory, who considered East Tennessee State, probably knows how to fuck with a deep fried stick of butter.
That is fair. Don't forget the Oreos as well. But that's a great point. I mean, looking back to my days, if I'm taking a test and I got 4D all the aboves in a row, you know, number four, I'm clicking none of the above.
Yeah, it's got to be. What kind of fucking masochist puts 5Ds in a row on a test? I mean, what are you trying to do? This is for the kids, man.
Yeah, it's for the kids. Okay. All right, Fatboy Rory, number one. Number two, a 24-hour bender with John Daly, Lenny
Dykstra.
Dykstra, there we go.
Classic.
And Bill Romanowski in Vegas.
In Vegas. 24-hour bender?
24-hour bender, that's it.
Are we guaranteed that we're not getting arrested?
I will give you that guarantee.
Again, this feels like a job for Fat Rory. I mean, this is. I bet you the only hesitation I have here is that I feel like Fat Rory was a big, like an Alka Pops guy. He's drinking a lot of Smirnoff Ices, right? Like he's maybe he's not quite sure how he feels about beer and he's not quite sure how he feels about cocktails, but he will kick back 6 Smirnoff Ice Blueberry Blasts real fast.
Mm.
But that's a lot of sugar, first and foremost. We're not suggesting that to any of our listeners.
No.
But again, this feels like a job for Fat Rory.
Okay, so Fatboy Rory, 2 in a row.
Yeah, I mean, let's not forget the sloppy Fat Rory image that we saw of him, you know, bukkakeing that bottle of champagne over the Ryder Cup people.
That's true. I could also see Rory diving into a little Bacardi, rum, maybe dragon fruit style, mixing it with some Mountain Dew Code Red. Not sure if you've been there before, but it's a wild time.
Yeah, you go one time and you never go back.
Okay, Fatboy Rory, 2 in a row. Ooh, this one's interesting. Top Golf with Patrick Mahomes, who we've seen there before.
Yeah.
Gronk and DK Metcalf.
Oh, good God. All right. This is a real big muscle dummy convention. Okay, so we're gonna break up the trend here. We gotta go with Buff Rory on this one because first of all, he's going to need to assert his physical dominance. He's not going to have it, okay? Because these are three specimens in terms of the strength here. So what he can do to distract them, because they're going to sniff out the weakest link and they're going to capitalize. I'm worried that they might try to beat the shit out of Rory. They're going to go to prison yard rules. If he can show off that long drive and just hit it outside of the Top Golf altogether, he's going to establish himself that he is a member of the pack, and then God knows where that night goes afterwards. Then maybe once they leave Top Golf, then maybe he reverts back to Fat Rory. I don't know if that's I don't know if it's a shapeshifter type thing that we got going on here, but if that's an option, that's that might work.
I think you're right. It's also an opportunity for Fit Rory, or as we say, Buff Rory, to pull off a strong boy stinger and try and blast through the net. I could also see that happening.
Mm-hmm. Or just try to show how he could snap a golf club with his swing speed alone.
Oh, right. Yeah, one of those regular shafts, Callaway's just killing it. Yeah, we've all been
there. Yeah, they don't stand a chance. Yep.
Okay. All right, so we've got two Fat Boy Rorys, one Buff Rory. We'll see if Buff Rory can make a comeback here. Number four, a leisurely hike. Okay, this might be a trick question too. A leisurely hike through the English countryside.
Okay. So my first thought is obviously Buff Rory because we don't want him getting tired. I mean, you know, either or. Northern Ireland, technically part of England, but that's neither here nor there. However, you know, it's no secret I'm not a big fan of England. So I'm going to go ahead and say we're going to want Fat Rory for this one so that we never have to actually do the fucking hike in the first place. Oh. Hopefully, we don't even have to step foot in the country, okay?
You don't like England?
Not a big fan.
You want to feel like... Listeners might wonder
why.
That's
probably a different episode. I don't know if we have enough tape on the old reel for why I don't
like. 2011 MacBook might run out of memory, huh?
Yeah, it's only got 500 megs. So
okay, all right, I'll save it for another time. Maybe we'll take that to Twitter as well. A lot of Twitter plugs. Okay, last one. So that was Fat Boy, right?
Yes, we got three Fat Boys. Three Fat Boys, one Buff.
Last one, a CrossFit workout.
Okay. Again, they try to trip me up at the very end, but it's not going to happen. I'm constantly vigilant. All right. CrossFit workout. You're thinking, oh, of course, Buff Rory. Stop. Nobody wants to do a CrossFit workout. Nobody wants to hear about your fucking CrossFit workout. We're going Fat Rory so that we never have to enter the fucking place in the first place. And hopefully we go find one of those all-you-can-eat Chinese buffets at East Tennessee State. I rest my case. The defense rests. Next witness. Objection. Thank you.
Wow, four Fat Boys, one Buff. That was unexpected. And I got to say, I'm feeling quite confused. Number two, segment number two. This is called I'm Only Happy When It Rains.
Oh.
So Rory isn't exactly winning any, quote, Mr. Personality contests out there. The question is, we're wondering, what will get the Northern Irishman's eyes twinkling a little bit? So we've got some options here. And I think the question is, will this make Rory's eyes twinkle or not?
Sure. Okay, yeah. Is it a twinkle or a no twinkle?
Twinkle or no twinkle. I'll give you this again. Number one, a One Direction reunion tour.
Ah. Okay, so which one is he friends with? Niels something?
Niall.
This again kind of feels like a trick question. You'd think he'd be very excited. I think this is a no twinkle because it would take away the one-on-one time that these two seem to enjoy so much when they're hanging out, just the two of them. So I'm going to go ahead and say this is probably going to be a no twinkle.
I tend to agree. I think he likes Niall being on his own. They can kind of be, you know, a couple stallions out in the field in that countryside. If they're not going to hike, they'll hop on a horse, and it'll be those two together. So I agree.
Probably a tiny horse.
Why don't you go ahead and give me the next one?
Oh, I'd love to. Okay, so the next scenario is the infamous Pumping Iron documentary featuring none other than Arnold Schwarzenegger. A Pumping Iron documentary marathon on Sky Sports.
Now, I feel like you want me to say twinkle because he's clearly getting in. He likes to work out, right?
Have you heard?
But at the end of the day, I'm going to say no twinkle, and there's a couple reasons. Number one, the guy's been working out for years now, okay?
I didn't know. I didn't even know.
He's been working out for years. Do you see him smile? No. So clearly,
that's a great take.
The working out isn't... I mean, talk about science. Like, you add a variable. He added working out. He still doesn't smile. So, number one, I'm going to say no twinkle. Number two, the guy's on the PGA Tour. He's got residency in Florida. He's an American now, okay? I know when it comes to Ryder Cup, he's Team Europe, but that guy's not watching Sky Sports anymore. Let's be real.
Yeah. No Twinkle. Yeah, he probably doesn't know what VPN clients are either. So no. I feel good with that. That's a no Twinkle, sure. Yeah.
No. Okay. So so far we got a lot of Fat Boy Roy and no Twinkle. Okay. Okay.
This is number three. Tough.
A 3 a.m. screening in the basement of his house, I'm going to assume in Florida, while his wife's asleep, of a 30 for 30 on Caroline Wozniacki. Oh, wow.
Oh. This, oh, wow.
Okay, his, I got my view, but go ahead.
His former fiance. Fiance. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This feels like a shameful twinkle. Oh, I don't think he wants anyone to see.
For sure.
He doesn't want anyone to see this twinkle, but it's maybe one of the fiercest twinkles you'll ever see.
Oh yeah.
I think that there's something. I think there's, you know, some stones that were left unturned, perhaps. I don't know, but that's feeling like prickly territory. But I mean, we all know what that's like, the X flame, you know? I mean, so I think he's got a twinkle on that one.
You know what? We're not a big relationship podcast here, but I will tell you, we've all had exes, and there is something weird that happens when you become an ex. Mm-hmm. All of the resentment, the relationship that existed before, as soon as that breakup happens, that relationship is never the same. And it can be a little awkward, but it can also, you know, provide a little twinkle. And I agree. I think this is Twinkle Toes all the way down. What do they say?
All right, so we got one.
What's the little toe saying?
I think it's from the windows to the wall to the sweat runs down my balls. Is that what you were thinking?
I wasn't thinking that as much as like Twinkle and goes all the way home.
Oh, okay. I guess I heard a different nursery rhyme but growing
both work.
Up.
Both
but,
work. Okay. What's next?
Okay, so the next one we have, friend of the pod, Brandel, makes an appearance. He had to. I mean, he already kind of has when we're talking about Roars, but maintaining fake Twitter accounts to assault Brandel and his numerous other haters. Twinkle, no twinkle.
This is tough. And full caveat, Strat and I haven't seen these, so we're flying by the seat of our pants right now. My gut says twinkle because... of anyone on the PGA Tour, I think Spieth is up there too with this, but I think Rory's even more straightforward and blunt. Rory tells it how it is, and Rory gets real frustrated when people question him. And he's not very good at masking his emotion and disdain. So, I could see Little Roars creating a burner account and going after Brandel, insulting his workouts. Because even though he's not twinkling at a Pumping Iron documentary marathon on Sky Sports, we do know that he does like to work out. It just doesn't make him smile. So I could see him going after Brandel on Twitter. I think that's twinkle.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same. That feels right.
Okay. Last but not least for this one, an orderly and well thought out Brexit plan.
Ah, okay. Brexit. Very complicated. Okay.
We
could dedicate an entire
this.
Episode to whether or not. Yeah. Again, Rory is a Northern Irishman. He flies the flag of England. He doesn't identify as your typical Irishman. So Brexit isn't going to affect him as intimately as perhaps it might some of the other neighboring countries, particularly the island of Ireland. However, sectarian violence between English and the Irish, I mean, it's well documented. This one feels about as complicated as Brexit in general. I've got to imagine that something that would prevent as much violence as possible and lead to the peaceful transition of power, as well as not destabilizing the entire European Union and its currency, is probably going to bring a twinkle to his eyes. I'm going with the twinkle.
Okay. He's got the full twinkle there. So just to review, that was, let's see, was that three?
That was twinkles? Four twinkles and one. Yeah. No. That was two twinkles. Two twinkles, three no twinkles.
Okay, so hey, if anyone can make Rory smile, it's us. We know. We know what makes him smile. So hey, that's that could be future job for us. Little twinkle toe guy.
Think about it.
Okay. Well, we got one more funny segment, and then we'll dive into some comparisons and talk a little bit more on Rory on tour. But this one's called "Are You There, Rory? Is it me you're looking for?" It's me, Major Championships.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we can't deny Rory's talent. We've gone through it in great detail. But what the hell is it going to take for him to get back to his dominant ways in the majors?
Okay, I'll start this off. Okay. I'll start this off for us, and you tell me. Motivation. We've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
The guy seems like a guy who couldn't really care less if he's out there, if he's winning, if he's not winning. He says the things that sound right. You know, he says, "I'm out here to win majors." But do you believe him?
No.
I mean, is there something that he can find that's going to shift that motivation? Or do you think that he just he's got to look for something else? What do you think?
Here's what I think. And we'll get to the comparison versus Spieth, but using that as an example, Serm loves to talk about grinders. Every chance he gets, mm-hmm. he'll call out someone as a grinder. And we love grinders on the par train because that's what the train's about. But Rory, in my mind, is not a grinder. Rory is a premier talent that hits the ball a mile somehow with his frame. And when he's got it, he's got it. And he rides that wave when he has it. But if he doesn't have it, do you remember like 5 years ago when he had like the toothache and he withdrew and he got so much shit and he got pissed at the media and he like later admitted that he probably should have stayed on and fought it out. But he literally had a toothache. I just remembered this.
Yeah.
So to me,
his toothy hurt.
The guy got, he's a 2011 MacBook. Okay. He was the top performing machine. He got a little complacent. He's now got everything that he would ever want. And like right now, if he retired, he'd be a Hall of Famer. So I don't see Rory like digging in and wanting to be one of the best. I just don't see it.
I mean, is he a racing thoroughbred horse who shows up, performs if the conditions are perfect, has won a triple crown, maybe not a triple crown because he doesn't have a Masters, but let's say for three years, he's won two out of the three of the triple crown. And now all of a sudden they just put him in the stud farm and he's living the life of luxury, eating all the hay that money can buy and having sex with beautiful mares in the hopes of creating a future champion. Is that where he's at right now?
I mean, that doesn't feel wrong.
All right. Well, think about it. You know, let us know in the Twitter. Again.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. What's the next one?
New swing coach.
Oh, new swing coach. Full disclosure, I don't even know if he has a swing coach right now.
I don't either. I'm assuming
he does. Yeah. I don't think he needs a fucking swing coach. His swing is beautiful. I mean, the guy, like you said, he hits it a goddamn mile and he's not that big. Have you heard that? Have you heard about that? You guys, have you ever watched around and heard an announcer mention how small Rory is and then he hits it far? But the guy does hit it far as shit. Watching him drive the ball is a thing of beauty. His, talk about trage goals. You watch his pro tracer on the weekends and it's gorgeous. I don't think the guy needs a swing coach. He's clearly in command of his swing. I think, this is probably more of a motivation thing. So swing coach, nah, whatever he's got right now, if he's got it, keep it. It's fine.
I agree. I think the next one, and let's just do two more because we still got a bit to go through.
Sure.
Bones McKay on the bag to me, real interesting.
Oh,
and here's
I
why.
Like that.
This
go ahead.
Whole thing that's been happening over the last couple years of like putting your boy on the bag. Look, I get it. Okay. If I was on tour and Strat was on my bag, we like talking through shots. That'd be fun. But, you know, getting a guy like Bones, can you imagine? I mean, that is just, it adds a level. Here's the difference. It feels like you have added value to the team and you know that that guy has experience and like he's the top of his game in that area. The flip side of that with your buddy is like, you're just there. You're kind of doing it all. but your buddy's there for like support. It's a very different feel.
I agree. I mean, are you gonna tell your buddy who's paying you and is your buddy and is very rich and is probably paying you a lot? Are you gonna tell him what he actually needs to hear? Or are you gonna tell him what you think is probably gonna keep you in his good graces? It's a lot of pressure to put onto a buddy.
It is.
And Bones, I mean, he's one of the best. I will say I would be upset to lose him and his commentary over the weekends, because it's some of the best. And as another quick aside, the guy really just came into his own very quickly on that commentary game. I mean, it sounds like the guy's been on the mic for 30 years. There's a level of comfort. There's an incredible level of analysis. I love it. Again, I digress, but I have to agree with you on this one.
Yeah, I totally agree. The last thing is lock arm putting technique. And honestly, I think this is probably pretty quick. Why wouldn't he try any putting technique he can?
Jesus,
that's been really
Christ.
The difference.
I mean, switch it every round if you have to. Whatever you're doing, it's not fucking working. Do you ever watch someone and be more, excluding Duff Daddy, and are more unconfident of the fact that the guy's going to hit a putter? I mean, every time it's the hand that he throws at the
Cryet.
You know exactly what I'm doing right now. It's one of these.
God, it's the move you make when you almost make a putt and your whole body goes into a seizure and your arms go up in there. And I don't know how your back is held up through it, but it's probably from the body wrecking.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I'm keeping an eye on those discs. I got a lot of disc health concerns.
Okay, well, we've gone through a lot. We're basically helping Rory get back to generational talent in the majors. So you're welcome. Let's just go to a quick, this is actually a tip that we just heard in his interview after he won the Players with Scott Van Pelt, which we talked about it last time we played, really hit home. So I wanted to mention it for the loyal listeners. SVP asked him, you're on 18. You've got water all along the side of the hole, trouble everywhere. What do you do to hit the shot you need? You got to hit a perfect drive to win the tournament. Over $2 million. What do you do? And he goes, what did he say, Strat?
I believe he said that he just swings as hard as he fucking can.
And we've heard Brooks say that too. And look, there's a balance between swinging as hard as you can and maintaining like rhythm and tempo. You don't want to get jerky at the top. But there is something to be said with that, where when you swing hard at it, you're not holding anything back. You're not trying to hold on to anything. And so tomorrow, that's what we're going to be doing.
I got to imagine that there isn't a tip that would give CIRM more of an aneurysm than swing as hard as you can on 18 with the tournament in the balance. I mean, talk about risk mitigation. CIRM is having a fucking heart palpitations when he hears that. God bless him.
That is so, so true. That is so on point. There's been a lot of great takes. Okay. All right, let's talk about Rory versus Spieth for a second, because I feel like of the young players, these are probably the two premier guys. Rory has 4 majors, 1 Players, needs a Masters. Spieth has 3 majors, needs a PGA. So real quick, Rory's got 15 PGA Tour, 9 international, like we talked about before. Spieth has 11 PGA Tour, 2 international. So here's the question. Who will have a better career when they're both done?
This is fascinating, and I got to tip my hat to you on this one, because I would have never thought to compare these two, because there's a part of me that views them as peers, but not realizing that Rory's been in the game much longer than Spieth.
Yeah.
And to see those stats side by side, 15 PGA versus 11 for Jordan, 9 international versus 2 for Jordan. Granted, Rory spent much more time in Europe.
Yeah, like,
and
you
still
can throw out
card.
International. You could basically say 4 majors versus 3, 15 versus 11.
Right. But the same, and I would even venture to say that those 4 majors versus Spieth 3 are probably about the same. I mean, two PGAs, a British and a US versus, you know, Masters, US and British. I could never win the fucking PGA in my life, and I wouldn't give two shits as long as I won the Masters, the US and the British, right?
Right.
But in terms of who's going to have the better career, my, now it's tough because we've got recency bias here because Jordan's playing like burnt dog shit right now and can't seem to figure out anything. But what's always been the knock against Jordan has been if he can't putt, then he doesn't have what it takes to be competitive in the game because he's not hitting it a mile. His long irons are fine. I mean, his distance control and his wedges and his putting is essentially what's gotten him his success in his not in his, you know, breakthrough years. However, Rory can't putt for shit either. So even though he's armed with all of these incredible weapons, like his distance, his accuracy, his long irons, his wedges, etc., I feel like I got to lean with Rory on this one because he has more of the components for a complete game than Jordan does. You can probably figure out putting. I mean, when Spieth is on, maybe one of the best putters in the world. Would you disagree?
Maybe the best.
Maybe one of the best. However, when he's on in every other avenue, he's in the top 20% on the PGA. I mean, when he's the driver well, he's not anywhere close to what Rory, DJ, Brooks, you know, the big dogs are doing. When he's hitting his long irons, he's not anywhere close to what the big dogs are doing. So in terms of analyzing the complete game, their current slumps notwithstanding, I feel like Rory just has more of the tools needed for a more prolific career. I pass it over to you.
Interesting. You know, I almost feel the opposite. I feel like I'm going to go with the guy that I know is the better putter because we know what that does. But also, like I mentioned before, Spieth is a grinder. Like, you know, when Augusta rolls around, Spieth's going to be up there. Like, something clicks with him.
Can't fucking wait for the Masters.
In the majors, and especially at the Masters. So there's something about him. I love watching a player that plays his best when they need to the most. So Spieth, when he plays well, to me is number two to Tiger for most exciting player to watch. Like, I get so jacked up when Spieth is up there. So I'm going to go with Spieth for that reason. But here's the interesting thing, my other question. I think we'd both agree Spieth is more likable.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know about you, but when Rory, it's probably because we didn't have Rory on our gambling teams, but when Rory won the Players, I wasn't that excited.
Not at all.
It did nothing for me.
Nope. You know what I did? Like, when I miss a putt.
So why is Spieth more likable? What is it?
You know, maybe it is the grinder thing. Maybe that's
like
actually
something. Like,
well,
like
when
us.
You said that, in terms, here's my big problem with Rory, and I've said it before, so it shouldn't be a surprise if you're, you know, if you're one of our avid listeners. But what bothers me about Rory is what bothers me about LeBron James, which is that you've got guys that clearly have something else. They've got an extra gear. LeBron's a freak of fucking nature. Rory, in the golf world, a freak of fucking nature. He shouldn't be able to hit it as far as he can. But you just don't see the type of insane, borderline sociopathic dedication to victory that you see from a guy like Tiger or that you see from a guy like Jordan. Like you said, I don't think motivation is not an issue for Jordan. Even when he's playing terribly, you watch that guy and you know that he's trying to figure out what the fuck is going on and how he can get back to where he was. And with Rory, I don't really see that. I don't think that he has that, or at least I don't, you know, maybe he's not emotive or whatever it is, but he just doesn't seem like a dude that really is bothered if he's winning or if he's not winning. Whereas Spieth seems like the kind of guy where he's going to do everything he damn well can to make sure he's in that winner circle at the end of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Here's a quick other comparison going beyond wins. Rory has 7 second places, 5 third places. Actually, seems kind of low. 73 top tens, which you talked about. Spieth has 13 second places, basically double, 6 third place, basically the same, and 57 top 10 finishes in a lot less events.
Wow.
So, yeah. The last thing I'll say, because we're pretty much at time, is one thing I was thinking about tonight is, as American fans, that's another thing that might make Spieth so much more likable is the whole Rory versus Patrick Reed thing. Like, we loved the back and forth in that Ryder Cup match, But I don't know about you. Like, when Poulter gets jacked up, it's like, okay, that's enough, but I know that's kind of his thing. Whereas when Rory tries to do the Poulter, I basically take my laptop and throw it off the table. It is
it is so tough to watch.
Forced. It is so tough to watch. And when he's like putting his hand to his ear to the American crowds at Hazeltine and like shushing us, my take is ever since that moment, he has been less appealing to the American golf fan.
Yeah, that's fair. That feels fair. And particularly because, like you said, it feels forced. Poulter is a fucking asshole, but you know it. And he plays the role well. And there's never a doubt in my mind that that guy isn't a fucking cunt. But he shows up to the Ryder Cup and he does his thing. And, you know, you got to take your hat off to him because the guy plays well when he needs to. But with Rory, it was almost like, it looked like his face didn't work the right way when he was trying to like scream and stuff and get all jacked up. It was like he didn't know how to smile or like have the angry face. I don't know. It was a little bit weird.
It was borderline Goonies. What's that guy's
name? You know what it felt like? It felt like Chunk. No, Chunk. I don't know what his name was.
No, not Chunk.
The monster?
Yeah. Yeah, who's the monster?
You know what it felt like? It's like, I don't know if you watch Westworld. He's like a version 1.0 of the hosts. Like, they haven't quite worked out the facial, mechanisms yet, but they're getting close, and they got a software update coming out in about 6 months that should take care of it.
I think you know I don't watch Westworld, but...
I'll be a little too scary.
Yeah, a little too scary for me. All right. Well, that is... That's our deep dive on Rory. I'd say the last thing is, does he win a major this year? Yes or no?
No.
Really?
No. And look, you know, I want to, no, not a chance. And also, I want to caveat this with, you know, we do a lot of shit talking about Rory, but at the end of the day, it's because we know what he's capable of and we want him to get back to it. We want Rory, Jordan, JT, Tiger, all those dudes battling each other. We want them all at their best. So I hope he can find it.
That's fair. Yeah, we want him up there. And look, April 11th week comes around, and he's up there. You know Jordan's going to be there. Ricky's been there. You know Tiger's going to be there. We still need to determine what we're going to do if that all happens.
Jesus Christ, I cannot wait for the Masters. Do you know that it's my favorite tournament? Have you heard that?
I've heard that. Yeah.
Okay.
It's almost as I'm almost as certain about you loving the Masters as I know Serm's going to need a few more minutes to figure out that tech.
God bless him.
Okay. Well, that was the Rory deep dive, and we'll be back for another in a couple weeks.